The U.S. dollar triumphant, but for whom? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The story of the week, central banks going on a spree buying up government bonds across the countries that use the euro. The idea is to lower interest rates and debt burdens in Europe, but lower rates there drive investors toward the U.S., which causes the U.S. dollar to soar like a hot balloon. On Fridays, we like to consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Yeah, boy, the dollar soars. The best 2 days back-to-back in the last 5 years at least. The dollar is all of a sudden strongest it's been since 2003.
Now, just looking here, it costs $1.12 to buy a euro, a drop of 1.2% just this morning. But that's going to be a hurdle for American exporters trying to sell into the eurozone. It makes your stuff more expensive or eats away at your profits when you want to bring them back home.
Well, that's right. But, you know, every time I see a stronger dollar and I hear that, I think good thing most of us are not exporters, right? The U.S. is primarily a consumer society. The dollar is that's your purchasing power. And consumers love this. It's one of the reasons gasoline is so cheap. It's one of the reasons consumer confidence is at a five-year high.
Now, in Switzerland, Davos is wrapping up the World Economic Forum. Lots of rich people stuck paying 16 to 18% more for their hotels and food and ski rentals because that Swiss franc shot through the roof last week when authorities there let go of the euro. If you detect schadenfreude in my voice, Chris, I'm sure it's not intentional.
Oh, but it should be, David. It really should be. Look, just one example yesterday. Billionaire David Green flew into Davos on his private jet with his wife, his kids, his two nannies, got up on the stage and talked for an hour about how America's lifestyle expectations are too high. These guys really just don't get it. So I have no problem with fellows like that paying just a little more for their hotels.
All right. Chris Lowe, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Not NPR's David Green, by the way. Another David Green. No final E and B for billionaire. More now on the death of Saudi King Abdullah at the age of 90. With its influence in financial markets, the succession of power there is being watched carefully by market participants. John Svakianakis is Middle East director of the Ashmore Group, based in Riyadh.
Saudi Arabia is all about continuity, and Saudi Arabia doesn't change its policy just because a king passes away. Over the years, we have seen different foreign and oil policies continuing, and that's very much characteristic of Saudi Arabia.
Indeed, there's word just now that Saudi Arabia's new king will keep the country's existing oil minister. Crude, using the Texas benchmark, is down 0.8% to bring it under $46 a barrel. With all the back and forth about President Obama's hope to raise capital gains taxes for some Americans to provide relief for some middle-class taxpayers, a White House proposal to change the 401k and IRA retirement system has gotten a bit lost in the shuffle. That proposal, if Congress were to go along, is to make most employers in America sign up employees to retirement plans automatically. Employees could opt out, and employers would not have to contribute any actual money to the funds. Marketplace senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been looking further into this savings by default notion. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So before we get to some of the changes, I mean, there are pieces of the whole 401k and IRA system that you think need work?
If you think about the 401k, it just puts too much risk on the individual to be making decisions about, well, how much do I want in stocks? How much do I want in bonds? And how's this going to pay off over the next 30 years? And I know you've talked to a lot of behavioral economists. And basically, the message of the behavioral economists is that you and I and the average person, we're not particularly good investors.
Of course, we try to help people make educated investment decisions with things like this program. But that said, what the White House was proposing this week doesn't really fix that problem, but they do want to make some other changes to the 401k system.
Right. 42% of private sector workers don't have access to an employee-sponsored retirement savings plan. Yes, you can set up your own IRA. But let's be real. Most people don't do that. And so what the White House is doing is making a number of proposals that's going to make it easier for people to save for the retirement. And I say, bravo.
So it's not that the employer has to kick in money on your behalf, but the idea would be if you're an employer of a certain size, a little more than 10 employees, you'd have to have a program set up so an employee who wished to kick in some dollars each paycheck would be able to.
That's right. And then the other one is that if you're a part-time employee and you're putting about 10 hours a week and you're a long-term employee, which they define as you've been there for 3 years, you get to participate in the employer's plan.
Except for the many, many Americans who work for very small businesses, 10 or less.
I'd wish they would go farther. But I think this is calibrated to actually have a practical chance of passing in this current environment. My bet is something like this could become law because it helps the average person.
Marketplace's maven of economics, Chris Farrell, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And an algorithm that distinguishes important movies from the flashes in the pan. Unfortunately for Hollywood studios, the system only works in reverse, judging in essence how well films stand the test of time. This algorithm calculating movie significance is explored in the new Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Of course, Wizard of Oz does well. Of course, Star Wars does well. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.